Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Targeted Talks. I'm your host, Nicole Tucker. In this episode, I am speaking with Dr. Natika Sharma, a medical oncologist and hematologist at Cancer Treatment Centers of America, about small cell lung cancer treatment right now and small cell lung cancer. Dr. Sharma, can you give an overview of some of the advances we've seen in small cell lung cancer over the past few years?
So just starting with the small cell lung cancer, nearly two-thirds of the patients with small cell lung cancer present with extensive stage of small cell at diagnosis. And the prognosis is usually poor, with a five-year survival rate of less than 7%. The median survival is limited to approximately 10 months. So small cell lung cancer is a highly proliferative, aggressive form of lung cancer that carries a poor prognosis. For close to 40 years, you know, the preferred decades-old treatment with platinum etoposide, to which, you know, in the first-line setting, patients respond really well. We see responses in more than 60% of the patients. However, that response is usually very short-lived. Traditionally, the second-line treatment is with topotecan that works in platinum-sensitive patients and has a response rate of about 20%. But a very modest improvement in survival over best supportive care. This disease has been called as recalcitrant, and for a good reason, because most patients relapse after the generally favorable response in the first line setting. They respond, and when they relapse, we have very limited therapies to offer them, with not much of a promise. The progress in the treatment for this type of cancer has been at a standstill for a number of years, until in about 2018, we started to see the role of immune therapy for these patients. So initially we started with nivolumab and pembrolizumab, which are anti-PD-1 agents. And gradually we had approval of atezolizumab in 2019 and then durvalumab in 2020 in the first line setting. Then subsequently we had approval of lubrinectedin in the second line setting and trilaciclib in the first line setting to avoid myelosuppression related to the chemotherapy. Now in 2021, there was withdrawal of approval of nivolumab and pembrolizumab, which was in the subsequent line setting. But still we use in the first line setting in combination with chemotherapy, the immune therapy such as atezolizumab and durvalumab. So the premise of immunotherapy in small cell lung cancer is that there tends to be high tumor mutational burden, which may be associated with the use of tobacco in these patients. But high tumor mutational burden, we know, responds to immune checkpoint inhibitors. Now, that may or may not be the case in small cell lung cancer, because we are still trying to see which biomarkers would suggest a better response to treatment for these patients. Likewise, the small cell lung cancer tends to be associated with autoimmune paraneoplastic syndromes, and there is universal loss of tumor suppressor genes, such as TP53 and retinoblastoma genes for these tumors. And those may drive immunogenicity through genetic instability. So let's discuss the CASPIAN trial. The CASPIAN trial assessed durvalumab, which is an anti-PD-L1 antibody, with or without tremelimumab, which is a CTLA-4 antibody, in combination with chemotherapy with platinum and etoposide chemotherapy in treatment-naive extensive stage small cell lung cancer patients. The patients were randomly assigned 1:1:1 ratio to durvalumab and platinum etoposide chemotherapy, durvalumab and tremelimumab plus chemotherapy, or just the chemotherapy. Patients received up to 4 cycles of chemotherapy with durvalumab, and then were put on maintenance treatment with durvalumab until progression or toxicity. So durvalumab plus chemotherapy combination in the first line setting showed a significant improvement in overall survival with a hazard ratio of 0.73, a median overall survival of 13 months in the chemotherapy and immunotherapy arm, as compared to 10.3 months in the chemotherapy arm. At 3 years, three times more patients were estimated to be alive when treated with a combination of chemotherapy and immunotherapy as compared to chemotherapy alone. The overall survival rate at 3 years improved from 5.8% with chemotherapy alone to 17.6% with the combination of chemotherapy and immunotherapy. So now the arm with durvalumab and tremelimumab in combination with chemotherapy did not show a statistically significant improvement in overall survival as compared to chemotherapy alone. So this trial noted some interesting observations. First of all, the benefit that was seen was irrespective of PD-L1. There still is a need to recognize the biomarkers for which patients would benefit more from immunotherapy, because at present, the treatment of extensive stage lung cancer still is as if one size fits all. There is a need to recognize the biomarkers that would suggest response to a certain treatment, maybe less toxicity, and a more durable response. The other thing is, 40 to 50% of patients with small cell lung cancer develop brain metastasis. And we are still not clear if there is an effective role of immunotherapy in controlling the disease in the brain compartment. Also, what is the best way to manage the brain metastasis? We have done prophylactic brain radiation for these patients in the past. Does that still carry a role or not? It's still unclear. Let's move on to discussing the role of atezolizumab. This is based on the EMPOWER 133 trial, which was a randomized double-blind phase 3 study demonstrating that adding atezolizumab, which is an anti-PD-L1, to chemotherapy with platinum and etoposide in the first line setting for extensive stage small cell lung cancer resulted in significant improvement in overall survival and progression-free survival versus placebo versus which is the chemotherapy alone. Atezolizumab inhibits engagement of the PD-L1 with PD-1 and B7.1 receptors. This study showed an improvement of median overall survival to 12.3 months with the combination of chemotherapy and immunotherapy as compared to 10.3 months with chemotherapy alone, with a 24% reduction in the risk of death with a hazard ratio of 0.76. At 18 months, 34% of the patients were alive in the chemoimmunotherapy arm as compared to 21% with the chemotherapy alone. Now, even in this trial, patients derived benefit from immunotherapy irrespective of the PD-L1 and tumor mutational burden.
We'll be right back after this message.
This is Dr. John Burke, Editor-in-Chief of Targeted Therapies in Oncology. Check out our next issue for expert insight on oncology care and the latest clinical update.
We're back with Dr. Natika Sharma talking about small cell lung cancer treatment.
Let's look at some of the new studies exploring the role of anti-PD-1 inhibitor in the first line setting. So more recently at ASCO 2022, we had a study presented on serplulimab, which is a first dual monoclonal antibody combination therapy with the ability to target PD-1 and VEGF-expressing tumors. We know that small cell lung cancer with its innate nature, tends to be highly vascular and rich in VEGF receptors. So this randomized double-blind phase 3 study used this agent with chemotherapy in the previously untreated patients with extensive stage small cell lung cancer, and that demonstrated improvement in overall survival as compared to chemotherapy alone. In this trial, the median follow-up duration was 12 months. The median overall survival was significantly prolonged with the use of this agent to 15.4 months as compared to 10.9 months with chemotherapy alone. Then we have another agent called toripalimab. This agent has been granted an orphan drug designation. It is an anti-PD-1 inhibitor for patients with small cell lung cancer that is being studied in JUPITER-08 trial. We do not yet have results of that, but this trial is also evaluating the use of this anti-PD-1 monoclonal antibody in combination with chemotherapy in the first-line setting. This agent is an anti-PD-1 inhibitor that blocks PD-1 interactions with its ligands, PD-L1 and PD-L2, as well as helps with the ability to enhance receptor internalization. So we will look for the results of the JUPITER-08 trial to see the efficacy of this agent in the first line setting.
Thank you, Dr. Sharma. So what's going on with treatment in the second line setting?
So first of all, when it comes to the second line setting, what we had since 1998 was the use of topotecan in this setting. The topotecan works in a platinum sensitive setting and has a response rate of about 20%. In a platinum refractory setting, the response rate is as low as 5%. And for a number of years, we did not have much movement in the second line setting to treat this cancer. So we know topotecan has efficacy in a platinum sensitive setting. More recently in 2020, we had approval of lubrinectedin. Lubrinectedin is a synthetic derivative of the marine drug trabectedin. And this is a DNA binding agent that selectively inhibits RNA polymerase 2 transcription that has demonstrated efficacy in the small cell lung cancer setting as a single agent, but also in combination with doxorubicin. So based on a single arm multicenter phase 2 basket trial, in a mixed population of platinum sensitive and platinum resistant patients, this drug demonstrated a response rate of 35% and a median overall survival of 9.3 months. Based on this data, lubrinectedin received an accelerated FDA approval in June of 2020 in the second line setting after progression on platinum chemotherapy. Now, more recently, we had a phase 3 Atlantis trial that compared lubrinectedin versus standard of care treatment with cyclophosphamide, adriamycin, and vincristine combination versus topotecan. We did not see an improvement in overall survival between these arms with the use of lubrinectedin. The lubrinectedin is also being studied with other agents, such as in combination with immune therapy and with irinotecan. That is being explored. More recently, we also had a resilient trial presented that studied the use of an agent, which is a liposomal irinotecan. It's called Onivyde. So this was a phase 3 randomized trial studying the use of Onivyde, a topoisomerase 1 inhibitor, as second line therapy for patients with small cell lung cancer whose disease progressed on or after platinum-based chemotherapy. This study did not show improvement of overall survival, which was the primary endpoint of this study. However, this agent is being studied in combination with other chemotherapy medicines. There are some other more exciting agents that are in the pipeline, such as the use of PARP inhibitor. So, an agent called velaparib, which is a PARP inhibitor, it prevents DNA repair, is being explored for the treatment of small cell lung cancer.
There was a randomized phase 2 study of vilaparib in combination with chemotherapy in first-line small cell lung cancer setting that demonstrated an improvement of progression-free survival from 5.6 to 5.8 months, but a corresponding overall survival benefit was not yet seen. More encouraging data suggests that certain subtypes of small cell lung cancer, such as the ones that are rich in SLFN11, biomarker, may have a better response to PARP inhibitors as compared to other subtypes of small cell lung cancer.
Looking forward. As it is in every field, there are some challenges with treating small cell lung cancer. What are some of the specific challenges being faced by community oncologists?
So a lot of the small cell lung cancer, from what we know, so far we have treated as one size fits all, like an umbrella treatment. But more importantly, especially after the results from the EMPOWER 133 trial, we now know that the small cell lung cancer can be stratified based on certain biomarkers and transcription factors. There are certain transcription factors that would yield a better response to either platinum chemotherapy or PARP inhibitors or immunotherapy. So the small cell lung cancer is now being looked at with a molecular characterization based on whether it's a cold tumor or a hot tumor. We know in general, a cold tumor may respond to chemotherapy, whereas a hot tumor may have better responses to the immunotherapy. So this characterization of the small cell lung cancer is vital in exploring further treatment strategies for this tumor. Say the major causes of knowledge gap in this setting is, one, the small cell lung cancer tends to be relatively less frequently found as compared to non-small cell lung cancer. About 20%, 15 to 20% of the cases are small cell as compared to non-small cell on diagnosis. So it comprises a small sample size in general. There is also paucity of adequate tumor specimens to guide the drug design, because surgery is rarely used to treat such a small cell cancer. A small cell cancer is considered to be metastatic upon the initial diagnosis. And as such, surgery is not always a consideration even in a limited stage setting. Because of that reason, we don't have enough tumor specimens to work with in the lab to know about the genetic makeup and what these cancers may be sensitive to. Also, biopsy in the setting of a disease relapse is a major challenge, but liquid biopsies may add useful information when a tissue biopsy is challenging. And then, unlike non-small cell lung cancer, where multiple driver mutations have been identified, there are only few driver mutations that exist in small cell lung cancer. I would say it's close to nil, at least, you know, when it comes to the treatment. These tumors are almost uniformly linked to loss of function of tumor suppressor genes, such as TP53, P10, retinoblastoma gene. But yet we do not have targeted agents for these alterations. And then lastly, there's a lot of heterogeneity in these type of tumors, due to which we do not see the response we would expect from the treatment. Now, there is a lot of promise because, as we discussed, we are starting to see activity in this tumor type, where now the industry is more interested in exploring and coming up with treatment options. The subtypes are being looked at. the genomic, proteomic, and epigenetic landscape of small cell lung cancer is being studied. So there is hope that we can target the biology of the cancer with more precise and personalized treatment to get better responses.
What key advice do you have for your peers in community oncology about treating patients with small cell lung cancer?
I would encourage that we enroll these patients in clinical trials, because that is how we get the best evidence and the safety of the treatment modalities in this so hard to treat tumor biology. So looking forward, these are exciting times for small cell lung cancer clinical research, and hope that we build upon and improve the outcomes of this type of cancer.